Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a good week. In the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing Darren Korb, award-winning audio director, songwriter and composer. Darren is audio director at independent game developer Supergiant Games, where he has composed the music for the critically acclaimed titles Bastion and Transistor. And Bastion has sold over 3 million copies, and PC Gamer states the soundtrack is phenomenal. I'm really looking forward to speaking to Darren, so that's coming up in the second hour. In this hour, we're considering, should we be saved from ourselves? I've been out and about getting opinions on the street to get us thinking. Perhaps as you listen, you can wonder how you would have responded to the questions had I stopped you. And if you have any comments, you can email me at ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinions. Well, first this week, I spoke to Marie and Schmidt. So let's hear what they have to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Marie Claire.
And Schmidt.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week our topic is, should we be saved from ourselves? There seems to be a general understanding that it's the government's job to protect us from other people, you know, murderers, rapists, thieves, terrorists. But I'm wondering if you think it's the government's job to protect us from ourselves and our potential bad choices. In particular, I'm thinking about how we, you know, can abuse our bodies, abuse of prescription and illegal drugs, alcohol, cigarettes and food. And this abuse involves personal choice and personal responsibility. However, some of these choices may be predicated on socioeconomic disadvantage or psychological or emotional trauma, which perhaps affect the ability to make good choices. So I'm wondering, does it make sense, therefore, for the government to try and influence our choices in these areas? Should we be saved from ourselves, or is it up to us?
I personally think it's like most questions, not a straight black and white. It seems to me that it should be left mostly to personal choice, but there needs to be an aspect of education that's put out to the public, such as in schools, or maybe made a regulation even in some private schools, so that the information's out there so we have a better understanding. Of course, there's still going to be the sort of, oh, the popular kids all do drugs, and that kind of social stigma, oh, you're not cool if you don't drink kind of thing. But to be able to understand the issues, I feel maybe we do need a little help, because just Googling it isn't going to do you justice.
Looking at, like, my personal education of stuff, I feel like I got a pretty decent education on what, like, drugs and stuff does to you, and, like, kind of on alcohol and stuff, but I feel like it could have been a lot more intensive, and they could have educated the schools that are basically run by the government for public schools, they could have educated us a lot better on what exactly alcohol does to you, what do drugs do to you, and how you can abuse things like food and prescription medications, even outside of, like, doing illegal drugs and abusing alcohol and cigarettes. And just shouting, it's bad for your health, don't do it, doesn't help. Kids are going to rebel against that. So we need a better, more intensive education about it, I think. And that's, I think, the best we can do is have the government educate us.
And I feel that on that note, there is an element in education when we're talking about subjects either that are taboo or illegal or things like that, such as sex education, to use scare tactics. And I think there's a need for information without, well, that. You can abuse things like food and things like that. So by giving the information, people will then have the choice to make an educated decision rather than doing fallbacks or, once again, rebelling against the status quo.
Right. Would you make a distinction? I mean, you're talking, both of you, about the education of minors. Would you make a distinction between how this should be dealt with in terms of age? You know, once you're 18 or 21 or whatever, you know, after that, it's sort of up to you, you know, but before that, you should be saved from yourself.
I know that for the university I'm going to currently, they had a pretty intensive education-only system for talking to us about drugs and alcohol, and even about like how to prevent sex abuse and like recognizing when that's going to happen. And I feel like that was one of the best things that they could have done, is for 18-year-olds and people who are going into a university and being on their own for the first time, away from the influence of their parents, saying, here's facts, do with them what you will. And honestly, for young adults and people going off on their own and being adults for the first time, I feel like that was really good. And I feel like we should make that available outside of universities and for anybody who wants the information. Like, if we want the information, we should be able to get it, no matter how old or young we are.
What about you? What do you think about the age?
I think the age is an issue insofar that younger children might not necessarily be able to make these choices on their own, because there is a certain limit to which you comprehend things as you develop. So there has to be some sort of recognition in the role of an adult or a parent or a guardian to say, okay, let's say limit sugar intake, or I'm not going to smoke, I'm going to quit smoking for my children, or things like that. Because it's a matter of consent, in a sense, where if you're going to be out smoking or drinking, you have to be able to say, I'm willing to do this. Otherwise, it's all bad, and it has effects that will later in life be potentially detrimental. So I feel that it's not only a parent's responsibility early on in the life of a child, or guardian's responsibility, to not only provide a positive background for that child's development in a, I'm not necessarily going to be either an alcoholic or chronic smoker, because of such detrimental effects. So. Yeah.
There's a discrepancy with how we deal with poor personal choices in regard to ourselves. In some instances, we're saying it's personal choice. In others, we're trying to, you know, we are using the law to try to control people's behavior. So I'm wondering if you think there should be some consistency in that. I mean, for instance, you know, we have illicit drugs. At the same time, we have cigarettes and alcohol that are legal. People abuse food. There's a huge problem with obesity. So I'm just wondering if you think there should be a consistency in this area of abuse. And if there was, we'd either be looking at legalizing illicit drugs or bringing laws to ban other substances that people abuse. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, regarding that, I would say in that regard, we kind of just need to do a rehaul of the entire legal system regarding that, because people who abuse illicit drugs end up in jail for longer than rapists do. And I think that's really ridiculously wrong. Yeah. And so I think we just kind of need to look at what is illegal and why it's illegal and how much time we're putting people away for that. Yeah. And look at how it's actually affecting other people. Like, if someone's out there like forcing other people to use drugs, yeah, put them away. But if someone's making the choice to use those substances and they're only using it for themselves, maybe they might need help like stopping like an addictive substance, but
yeah,
it's still their choice at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Obesity, for instance, causes more health problems than poverty, alcohol, and smoking. And yet we don't have a ban on sugar or, you know, or fat or, you know, cigarettes or alcohol. And yet we have bans on heroin and these other more serious drugs. So do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, the question there is whether it's the laws themselves that are preventing more serious issues to arise from heroin and things like that, or whether it's, say, longevity that we've known about heroin and, you know, cocaine and such like that for a longer time, and we're just now figuring out that food can cause all these problems. So I do believe there are fights going on to at least make the information more well known, like labeling products and things like that, but there is still the element of people not knowing what each of those things do. So Yes, I feel like there needs to be a re-regulation of laws regarding this nature because of what Maria was saying. Since there are, in past cases, for illicit drugs in particular, socioeconomic specific regulations. So, yeah, there needs to be a re-examination of that.
Is that something that you also feel might have be age-related in terms of younger people maybe shouldn't be allowed to have the drugs that are now illicit, but when you get to 21, then maybe if you that's your choice, it's your choice? Is that something you might feel is applicable?
I would say that would be applicable. Like, personally, I think that having the age limit on things like cigarettes and alcohol does help because it allows you a chance to get an education on those things before you make the personal choice.
Yes.
Adding on to what Schmidt was saying before about for younger generations and like placing limits on them for that as well. I was just going to bring up that in my middle school, they stopped selling in the vending machines. They stopped selling like sodas and sugary drinks. Yeah. We could still bring them from home if we so chose, but we could not buy them from the school. And I think that's a really great compromise because it allows the parents to have some control over what their children are allowed to have. And it allows the kids to have some control over what they're consuming rather than being like, well, all that's available is Pepsi.
Right, yes.
So I'm forced to buy a Pepsi because I'm really thirsty.
Yeah. But it seems generally the theme of what you're saying is education is what's really important for children and adults on these issues maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Just an all-out education of the effects of the substances, whether they're food or drugs or alcohol or whatever. Yeah. Education before you use.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my On the Street conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my conversations with people on the street. Next, I spoke to Roger. So let's hear what he had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Roger.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, should we be saved from ourselves? There seems to be a general understanding that the government should save us from other people, you know, murderers, rapists, terrorists. But I'm wondering if you think it's the government's job to protect us from ourselves and our potential bad choices. And I'm particularly thinking about abuse of our bodies, abuse of prescription and illegal drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, food. I mean, these all involve personal choice and personal responsibility, but sometimes the reason that people abuse these things are down to socioeconomic disadvantage or emotional trauma or whatever. So perhaps there is, you know, some argument that the government should try and influence our choices. Should we be saved from ourselves? I'm just wondering what you think.
Well, I guess that the first thought I have is that, like, our country is based off of a system of being able of personal choice, essentially. And I think that there's a kind of a weird double-edged sword to this, is that we allow these things, especially tobacco and alcohol products, to be purchased and consumed, but we also invest money within our public health departments to say, basically, no, you shouldn't do these things. I know that a couple of health departments do different aspects of, like, trying to create tobacco-free pharmacies and, like, basically make it a little bit stricter about where you can purchase tobacco and where you can use tobacco. And the same thing for alcohol in a lot of levels. So, I mean, I think you can kind of lead a horse to water, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to drink it. And I think that there's certainly enough information about that, like on the internet and other outlets, to say all the negative effects of tobacco and alcohol. But it goes back to the personal choice. Necessarily, you can see all these facts, and you can see how they're going to affect your body on the long term, which is also an issue because it's not an immediate, I can understand why I shouldn't do these things immediately. It's taken off for a couple of years. So you don't really think about the negative effects until they happen 10, 15 years down the line.
Right.
I think that it's the government's responsibility to say, well, this is why you shouldn't do it. But at the end of the day, it's an individual's choice because that's the society that we've created for ourselves.
Mm. There's a discrepancy with how we deal with poor personal choices in regard to our health. In some instances, the government's saying it's personal choice, and in others, they're trying to control people's behavior with laws. I mean, for example, my father died of completely smoking-related illness. You know, his health declined for 20 years, and then he died prematurely, having had an aortic aneurysm 10 years earlier.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. But, you know, there's studies that have shown smoking's more addictive than heroin, and yet, you know, smoking is legal. I'm wondering if you think there's a consistency in how we deal with, or should be a consistency in how we deal with abuse of the body, and whether we are allowing people to make their own decisions. If we were going to be consistent, then obviously illicit drugs should be legal along with all these other drugs like smoking, you know, cigarettes and alcohol and food. Or should we be moving in the other direction, you know, and making, I mean, based on what you said, you wouldn't go in that direction. But do you see a discrepancy in how we're dealing with this?
Yes, like we allow ourselves to purchase and use these items. But at the same time, we have government systems to which taxpayer money goes into that says you shouldn't use these things. So do I think it's consistent? No, I don't. I think that, but if you're asking me, like, if I think that we should go one way or the other, it's not my, I would say something, but it could be completely different for the next person you ask. So I think that there's no cohesive public thought about how we should handle these situations, and
right.
That's the problem.
But your argument was that, you know, the way this country is set up, it is predominantly about personal choice. So do you think it should be just my choice as much whether I choose to do heroin and that takes me down a path that is not good for me, like it was my father's choice to smoke and die of that? I mean, what's the difference?
Well,
is there a difference in your mind?
It's kind of a loaded question, frankly, because there's tons of aspects of it. I mean, you can have, it's been proven that people who are born from alcoholics have a higher rate of alcoholism if they like start to use. It's the same thing, I think, with a lot of different other drugs, and it's certainly a problem, as I think sociological studies have found, through lower socioeconomic classes. So I think that there is we see it as a personal choice, and our country is based off this idea of personal choice, but at the same time, it's just not that simple most of the time. But
Would you make a differentiation between minors and adults? I mean, you know, so we could have a situation where all these things are illegal till you're 21, let's say, and then it's up to you. I mean, in terms of education versus legislation, or do you think that there is a case for legislation of some of these things for adults as well?
Well, I mean, we did, didn't we kind of do that during the 80s and 90s with the DARE program? And I mean, especially in terms of minors, you had basically them saying, here's what's going to happen if you use tobacco, if you use these illegal drugs. And I don't know for sure if there were what the like consequence of that was. I don't think it necessarily helped. I mean, we poured money into the war on drugs, and the outcomes of such are, I mean, you see now the rise of marijuana legalization, despite our generation being taught marijuana is bad. Do I think that this should be, that there should be outlets for older, for people of age? Certainly, and I think that there are through most public health, but again, those things are advertised throughout the community and not a lot of people go.
What about in terms of making all drugs legal after you're 21?
That's a tough question.
But in terms of your personal choice argument, you know, a libertarian point of view on that would be, you know, it's up to you. If you want to take cocaine, that's your choice,
I get the argument there. I guess it's just, it's not that simple. You can't just say, like, yeah, you can do whatever you want, because so many other problems will stem out of that. Mm-hmm. Do I think that it's, like, totally consistent how we illegal or make things illegal and then make other things legal? Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I mean, let's take tobacco and marijuana. Like, it's been scientifically proven that marijuana on the long term does less damage to your body than smoking cigarettes, but it's still illegal and tobacco is. So do I think it's consistent? No. Do I think that every drug should be legalized? Frankly, no. But I think there should be a better system in place of finding out which drugs should be legal, rather than an all or nothing absolute either way.
Right. So in some instances, there might be a case for us being saved from ourselves as adults.
Yeah, I would say that. Again, like, that's not, that the public view is more about, and the way our society is set up is that an overwhelming majority have to be able to overturn these things. But right. I guess the second question that comes with that is, what if the overwhelming majority are already in addiction to alcohol or tobacco? They're never going to vote against it because they want to get access to those things.
Yes.
So, It's a tough situation to be in, frankly. It's not a simple cut and dry, this is what we should do, what we shouldn't do. It's going to take a lot, and I think more than one generation, to figure out exactly what is good. I mean, and frankly, we've had marijuana illegal for a while. There's things called e-vapes that we have no knowledge about. We have no knowledge of what marijuana does on the long term. So, I mean, people that really talk about, okay, well, we should legalize marijuana, I think we should wait for it personally. I think we should wait for a while, find out what it does on the long term. Same thing with vapes, same thing with e-cigarettes. Hookah has become a huge thing. We haven't really figured out exactly what the effects are on the long term. So, I mean, it's not a simple, like, yes or no, all or none situation. It has to be more, the research has to go forth. And I would like to personally, like, put that more on scientists that have that general expertise rather than, like, try and go off their judgment. But again, people won't listen to them. They're going to do whatever they want to do.
A lot of those things, though, it seems like just common sense would tell you that they're probably not the best thing to do and that there is some risk attached.
Yeah.
So, but you think beyond that, that some legislation, if it was found that they were harmful, you know, that should be legislated?
I mean, yeah. I think most findings are brought to legislation. And it's more like there's other aspects of government rather than just protecting the citizens, what's good for our economy and beyond.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just... Then again, personal choice. You have to take into account if people are being told, yeah, this is going to be bad for me, it's going to affect my health in the long term. If they're using it, they're not going to want to stop. Or if they even then they say, well, whatever, I'll take the consequences of my actions later down the road.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on this week's topic. I hope it's giving you some food for thought. And as I said earlier, it's interesting as you're listening to imagine what you might have responded if I had stopped you on the street and asked you these questions. And if you do have any thoughts you want to share, please email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, the next person I spoke to was Zolt. So let's hear his thoughts. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Zolt.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, should we be saved from ourselves? There's a general understanding that the government's job is to protect us from other people, sort of rapists, murderers, terrorists. But I'm wondering if it's the government's job to protect us from ourselves and our potential bad choices. And I'm particularly thinking about how we abuse our bodies, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, food. And these choices are personal choices, but sometimes they can be predicated on certain socioeconomic disadvantages or psychological or emotional traumas. So perhaps there's some argument for the government to be involved, but I'm just wondering whether you think the government should try and influence our choices in these areas. Should we be saved from ourselves?
I don't think we should be saved from ourselves. I think it's not a simple yes or no answer, because the situation today is very dire. And people abuse themselves because of lack of knowledge and lack of education in all different areas. So, you know, saving somebody from themselves is like a band-aid. It's like a last minute action to save somebody. Why are all these people sick? Why are all these people dumb? Why are all these people in trouble and can't even care for themselves and take care of themselves?
Right.
So at least 100 years of dumbing down of the population will give you a problem like this. And the government is doing the dumbing down because they have removed civic studies from the curriculum. They have removed fitness education in the public schools. They have.
Not in our area, but I don't know.
Okay,
maybe
well,
in some areas,
yes,
or reduced
some,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's everywhere, but I heard that they have removed. But civic studies are definitely removed from the curriculum, so nobody knows their rights anymore, and nobody is familiar with the Constitution, so the government is able to pass unconstitutional legislation in this country.
With regard to legislation, there's a discrepancy with how we deal with poor choices. Some things that are harm our bodies are addressed with legislation, and some with education and preventative social measures. I'm just wondering whether you think we should have some consistency in policy about this. I mean, if we were to be consistent, then we would have to legalize all drugs, for instance. Or if we go in the other direction, then we would be looking at, you know, making cigarettes and alcohol illegal as well. I'm just wondering what your thought is on the inconsistency of why some drugs are illegal and some aren't, and, you know.
Yes, I have an idea about that. All the really, really harmful drugs are legal, and all the drugs that have some beneficial health effects, like marijuana, are illegal.
Oh, well, I mean, so people would argue heroin perhaps that doesn't have beneficial effects to your health.
No, it doesn't, but it has medical uses.
Right.
In the right dosage. So it's not that one thing is bad and another thing is good. It's how we use everything. And if we don't know how to use it, then we have to make research, scientific research, to find out what is the correct use.
Right.
Because there is a correct use for snake venom.
Right, yes.
Okay, and it's a very potent medicine in minute doses and can heal cancer and other things. So labeling something bad and therefore illegal without any study about it. For example, psychedelics have not been studied for the last 40 years since their discovery.
Yes.
Ayahuasca has been used in the Amazon for over 3,000 years documented, but more like 10,000 years or more. Ayahuasca has been used to heal all kinds of ailments.
What is it called?
Ayahuasca.
Okay,
it's an indigenous medicine. It's a psychedelic medicine.
Right, yes.
Okay, just like peyote, just like San Pedro cactus.
Mm-hmm.
All these substances are illegal because they heal. They have healing properties. And all the substances like alcohol and nicotine and caffeine, which do tremendous harm to the human body, are legal. And you gotta ask why the FDA and the government allows this.
Hmm.
And I already know why, because they don't want an educated, conscious, sharp population, because then they couldn't be taxed to that, and they couldn't be controlled the way they are controlled right now through television.
So to your mind, the discrepancy is nothing to do with them trying to save us from ourselves, from things. It's just other reasons that they're making some drugs illegal.
They are not trying to save anybody from themselves. There is an agenda behind why something is legal and why something is illegal.
Yes. I mean, there's certainly something strange about, for instance, tobacco and alcohol, which have documented the negative health effects, being legally available, and other drugs, which you could say are equally destructive, not being available, or you're saying they may even be helpful. But I mean, even if you think of heroin and cocaine as destructive, you know, are they more destructive than tobacco and alcohol, potentially? And yet they are treated differently.
Cocaine and heroin are destructive because they are super extracts. The coca plant in itself is not destructive and can be used harmlessly in its natural form.
Mm.
These super extracts that we create by chemistry in a lab, those are the destructive forms of each substance.
Mm.
So it's a very complex issue, and there is no simple answers to it.
No.
One needs to research for months and months and maybe years before a coherent picture will arise in one's mind.
Yeah.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, in my On the Street conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Every day, horses are rounded up, captured, sold, and sent off to be cruelly slaughtered for food overseas. The horses you see out your window today could end up on someone's dinner plate tomorrow. We simply must do something to save them. This great country was built on the backs of the horses. They helped us plow our fields, pull our wagons, and they deserve all the dignity and respect afforded other American icons. The horse helped us craft this nation we know and revere today. This is country music star Lacey J. Dalton. I have dedicated my life to save Nevada's wild horses, but I cannot save them without your help. Your generous donations are the only chance some of these horses have. Visit letemrun.com for more information. Join me. Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Visit letemrun.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street interviews on this week's topic. Well, before the break, we were listening to my conversation with Zolt. Let's hear the rest of that now.
So on the personal responsibility note is before people can be responsible for their own actions, they need to be educated about the subjects that are in question.
Yes.
So without the right information, how can anyone make an informed choice?
Right, and you feel like the education and information that's getting out there's not enough.
There is no education coming out about how to use drugs.
Right.
And psychedelics in the correct way.
Because okay, so it's an abstinence thing. They're just saying don't use them at all.
They're just saying it's all bad, don't use it, and that's obviously not true. Because many of these substances have huge medical implications and effects. Okay, I have taken ayahuasca about 15 times, and it healed me of so many things within just 1 year. It completely rejuvenated my physical body. It has increased my mental sharpness, probably tripled it. I had a depression going on, not very bad depression, a slight depression going on about a year ago. That's completely erased.
Interesting.
And that's just after 1 year of using this medicine.
I mean, the difference in what you're saying is that often people who use drugs are self-medicating because they're trying to escape from their problems. So what you're saying is an education, really, to perhaps use some of these substances to help you to deal with issues instead.
People use these substances as an escape when they don't see a way out of their own situation. And they also are not aware that some of these drugs can be correctly used for medical purposes. Like cannabis can heal cancer in certain cases.
Right.
Ayahuasca can heal cancer, AIDS, arthritis. You could go on hundreds of things.
So would you be seeing the policy around that as being linked to corporate concerns of wanting to make money from manufactured drugs?
Yes, the pharmaceutical companies own the FDA, and they don't want any plant medicine entering the market if they can help it. Because then their pharmaceutical crap, sorry to use that word, but that's what it is actually killing people. There are 200,000 people die from correctly prescribed medication, pharmaceuticals in this country. Not malpractice.
Yes,
correctly prescribed medications, because they all have dire side effects. But this is not publicized.
No. I mean, in a way, looking at the personal choice and personal responsibility in that instance, you could say there could be more education on the side effects so that people could make more of an informed choice.
And they always put it in the fine print where most people don't bother to read it, or you can't even understand what they are babbling on the radio when they, you know, when they really quickly tell you the side effects.
So I think what I'm getting from you is that you would think that we should not be saved from ourselves, that we should be in charge of our own choices, but that we need to be better informed in what those choices should be based on.
Well, there is definitely a purpose for government, but the question is it good government? And we want government for the people, not government for the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
Or corporations that are so filthy rich that they can buy the government. And they have bought it 50 years ago.
Right.
They own the government, these corporations, and they are pulling the strings from behind the scenes, and everybody thinks that it's the president who's doing all this. No, the president has no power anymore because they owe too much to these corporations that got into politics through the lobbyists and paid off the politicians.
And maybe the question should be, should we be saved from our government?
Yes, I will definitely say that we should be saved from bad government.
Yes, yeah.
And who's going to do that? The government? No. We have to do that.
So it comes back to personal responsibility.
So it comes back to personal responsibility, but not just the individual for themselves, but the community has to be responsible for itself. On the community level, people have to be responsible for not letting the government get away with murder.
Yeah. I'm also thinking, with you mentioning community, that perhaps that would also be a better check and balance than having legislation for things. If we had more of a active community, then people could help each other in these situations to perhaps make better choices.
Yes, we definitely need an active community that takes care of its members. Waiting for a representative to solve all your problems in Washington is really the worst kind of way going about it. Because Washington doesn't know about local issues, and they don't care. They just want to control as much as they can from Washington, so all the money trickles up the ladder, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. Well, finally this week, I spoke to Michael, Kim, and Nicholas. So let's hear their thoughts.
Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Michael.
Kim.
Nicholas.
Okay, well, thanks very much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week I'm thinking about, should we be saved from ourselves? There seems to be a general understanding that the government's job is to save us from other people, like murderers, rapists, terrorists, etc. But I'm wondering if it's the government's job to protect us from ourselves and making bad choices. I'm just wondering what you think in this area, whether we should be saved from ourselves in any way by the government.
Well, it's interesting, you know, like two things come to mind for me when you say that. And one is that there's a big difference between like natural products and products that have chemicals in them and how humans respond to that. And it's been my experience that if a product has a lot of chemicals in it, then someone is more likely to get addicted to it, whereas if it's more of a natural product, then it's more likely to be healing. Now, I'm not sure if that's intentional or not, you know. Some would say that maybe big corporations are out to try to make these products addicting to keep people in a cycle of addiction to try and continue buying it. You know, some people would say that's not true. So it just depends on your opinion.
If that was true, do you think it would be the government's job to legislate against those things that include chemicals? Or should we just be made aware of that through education and then make our own choice?
Well, I think the thing that we can do as people is to, you know, vote with our wallets and really support local and well-made goods. You know, it's the difference between buying beer at a 7-Eleven or buying beer from like a local brewery. You know, if you buy your beer from a local brewery, it's going to be better for you. You're going to have less of a hangover. At least that's my experience.
Okay. What are your thoughts? Do you think there's some areas where it is the government's job to save us from ourselves?
As much as I'd like to think that people should have their own freedom of choice, if you have your freedom of choice and you're going to purport that, then you have the freedom of choice to go and seek out the information. Because I agree with him, there's a lot of chemicals and things. However, a bunch of legislation has been passed regarding, like, you know what's in everything if you want to go look for it.
Right.
But if you want to remain willfully ignorant, it's not the government's job to be like, hey, I don't think you should eat that, and then take the backlash for that. Like, if that's kind of what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. That being said, the amount of obesity and other things that actually impact every taxpayer, because I'm going to be paying for somebody's heart attack because they wanted to have way more bacon than they needed to. You know, should I have to pay for that in the same way? Should I have to pay to house an inmate who decided to go, like, rape a bunch of women? Like, should I have to pay for that?
I guess the advantage there is you're paying for someone being prevented from raping more people.
Sure, but if they've been in prison before, then clearly that whole system isn't working, so the government deterrence at that level, as it already has been, is not working. I'm not sure if we should go for anarchy, because that doesn't, it barely works on paper, much less at all. Like, I'm not even sure how you would get the government to control people from themselves.
Right.
Because they can't even do it right now.
Well, they are, for instance, doing it with the drugs that they've decided are illegal and we should be saved from, and yet, for instance, you brought up obesity, it harms more people than smoking, drinking, or poverty. There are two RAND researchers, health economist Roland Sturm and psychiatrist Kenneth Wells, examined the comparative effects of obesity, smoking, heavy drinking, and poverty on chronic health conditions and health expenditure, and they found that obesity is the most serious problem. It's linked to a big increase in chronic health conditions and significantly higher health expenditure. And it affects many more people than smoking or heavy drinking or poverty. And yet, even though it's a recognized health risk, there's relatively few public policies about this. There's no ban on sugar or fat. Now, whether there should be is another argument. You know, this is what I'm asking. But we are deciding that heroin and cocaine should be made illegal. And we can't make our own decision about that, but we can decide to stuff ourselves with saturated fat. So I'm just wondering, you know, do we need to be safe from ourselves? And if we do or if we don't, why aren't we being consistent about it? Do you have a thought about that?
I think a lot of people need to die to control the flow of life. And
okay.
I'm not speaking with any kind of emotion, just logistically, I think that there's too many people in the planet and people have to die, and there are all these efforts to keep people living for as long as they can, but I feel like they're...
So by that argument, we shouldn't be saved from ourselves and not educated and just make the worst choices and then there'll be less people?
No, I think there should just be less of us to begin with.
And how do you plan for that to happen?
To go backwards.
So what do you think, though, in terms of there being this inconsistency with the government's decided to save us from some things and not other things?
I mean, the war on drugs is going swimmingly, from what I've heard. I mean, it's...
Not in Mexico.
I mean, there's crack just... There's, you know, it's not working. I don't...
But do you think there's a difference? I mean, do you think it should be up to us to decide if, you know, if I want crack or if I want to stuff myself with donuts, you know, every day of the week? Are they the same? Or can you see a difference, a reason why, you know, crack is made illegal and smoking and alcohol aren't?
I mean, I can see, I'm personally have not had heroin. From what I've heard, I could have one donut and be cool tomorrow, but I could take heroin once and never be okay.
Right.
I mean, it's weird to have sort of regulations on that, because there is no regulations on food. We spent way too long in the sun today. I'm super sunburnt. There's no regulation saying I have to wear sunscreen. I could have somebody paying to cure my skin cancer because I wanted to hang out at the beach, you know?
And so is it more about education, do you think?
I mean, people know. Like, I knew to wear sunscreen. I was just like, I didn't want to, you know? I didn't really think about it. It's just whether... I don't even think people want restrictions at all on anything. And people who want restrictions already restrict themselves. Like, I don't want to do crack. And it doesn't matter if there's a law. It could be legalized tomorrow.
You wouldn't do it.
And I still don't want to do crack. But the people who want to do crack will do it even if it's illegal.
Right.
So
it's only the people with no self-control that are complaining that they're not being controlled because they can't do it themselves.
So is there an argument to try and help people increase their self-control, do you think?
It'd be nice. We could start at the basic level of improving just basic self-esteem and socioeconomic empowerment, you know, creating stronger family ties, you know, creating professions where you're not just like some run-of-the-mill, like, I work at Nordstrom's. That creates no self-worth. If you start at the bottom where it's like, hey, I know how to butcher meats, I know how to make cheeses, and I'm going to continue up in my education or my craft, and then I you know, crack is not even something I have to be controlled from.
Another interesting thing to look at is the theory that the body itself is an ecosystem. You know, you look at like a pond and you and a scientist will analyze it like an ecosystem. You know, if it's a healthy pond and it's very clear and alkaline, there's going to be less disease in that pond. If it's an acidic pond, there's going to be more disease.
That's also an interesting metaphor for society, I think, as well. You're talking about the individual body, but it's also what you were speaking to a little also, is that the healthier our community and society is, and the more equal everybody is in every way, the less likelihood we're going to need saving from ourselves.
I think the ironic thing is I actually agree with what you're saying, but there are some very clear pools, and they look great, and they're the most poisonous waters. There's nothing that lives in them anymore because of the pH balance that shifted, and that's what made them so clear. Uh-huh. So you have these government policies that look phenomenal on the outside, like, hey, you know, like, let's ban this and ban that, because they're obviously clinically proved to be bad for people.
Yeah.
And it's just like the washout from them just like doesn't work.
But sort of unintended consequences as well.
It is like, you know, there are things that like all kind of circle back to each other within people, within like little communities, within like the whole country, that just kind of like,
yeah,
I hear you. I think that one thing I was thinking about when you were saying there's some people that are willfully ignorant, I think that you kind of have to look at where people grow up too, and you know, there's a lot of people that just don't know. You know, if you grow up educated, you know, it's one thing to be willfully ignorant. There's times when I'm willfully ignorant because out of just convenience, you know.
But sometimes people just are ignorant because they haven't had the opportunity.
You know, and if you, if there's only one store in your town and that store is a standard stock store, you know, you live in the country or something like that, you're going to buy the things from that store, and it's not necessarily going to be the stuff that you're going to find at like a New Seasons in the city.
So would you see then education as being the way around that?
Well, I really think that it comes down to self-responsibility, but I think to have that self-responsibility, a person has to become aware of their body and aware that it is something that is going to respond to how they treat it and what they put in it, and that they need to take responsibility for themselves to, you know, treat it in a good way. And it doesn't mean that they have to do everything right. It's just simply, I think, gaining some type of awareness that you are responsible for your health, not necessarily the things around you or this bigger thing. Although, I think that that does play a role, and, you know, we obviously live in a system, and that's important also.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thank you very much again to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week. It's relatively daunting being stopped by someone and asked quite deep questions, so thank you, all those people who stepped up and gave their opinions. Next up is my special guest, Darren Korb, award-winning audio director, songwriter and composer. Darren is audio director at independent game developer Supergiant Games, where he's composed the music for the critically acclaimed titles Bastion and Transistor. And Bastion has sold over 3 million copies, and PC Gamer states the soundtrack is phenomenal. I'm really looking forward to speaking to Darren, so I hope you can stick around. That's coming up after the break. And remember, if you want more information on the show or you want to listen to past shows, you can go to the website. It's a question of balance. You can find information there on all my past shows. We've had some very interesting topics and some very interesting guests. I'll be back after the break with Darren Korb.